Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom. I'm your host, John Spencer, a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I'm passionate about seeing teachers transform their spaces into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so this is a podcast where we explore this intersection of creativity and student learning. Today we're going to talk about kind of a way to approach problems. And it's this idea of turning problems into solutions. And the key idea is that when teachers view themselves as systems architects, they are able to view potential problems as design challenges. By the way, my wife always makes fun of the way I say architects, because I guess it's architects, or I don't know. If it grates on your nerves, make sure to leave a negative review on iTunes about the fact that I cannot pronounce the word architect. Anyway, so here we go. Let's go ahead and approach this topic. And I want to start off by telling, you guessed it, a story. Yesterday, I was on a flight from Portland to Minneapolis, and the flight attendant asked the passengers to check their seats for any belongings and then to close the shade on the windows. Simple request, right? But when I left the plane, I noticed that just over a third of the passengers had shut the shades, which was really too bad because it was already pretty hot outside and the plane just kept getting hotter. Now, a week earlier on a flight to Phoenix, the flight attendant asked the passengers to do the same thing. But on this flight, the attendant have a rationale. She said shutting the shades would keep the plane cooler. And she's right. And I would guess around 80% of the passengers shut the shades. Not too bad. But it has me wondering what it would take to get 100% participation. So here are a couple of the ideas that I had. You could use negative reinforcement. Tell the passengers that you will not get off the plane until all of the shades are shut. Now, that seems like a really, really horrible idea because people are just going to get pissed off at you. But it's an idea. It's something you could do. Maybe you could give an economic rationale. Explain that it will conserve energies and reduce airfare. Maybe tell people that the flight attendants will have to shut the shades anyway, and it will mean that people can be on time faster. You get the idea. Now, the problem with this one is it's way too far in the future and way too removed from the immediate situation for anyone to really care. Another option is to appeal to empathy. Tell people that if the shades are down, the next group of people will have a cooler plane ride, and remind them that that's the kind thing to do. You could apply social pressure. I don't recommend this, but ask the person in the middle row to double check that the window person has shut the shade, and if they haven't, do it for them. That could get kind of ugly. You could reward them. Tell passengers that there will be a raffle giving a prize to a random row that has their window shade shut. Or maybe you could just gamify the process and turn it into something fun. Make it a competition. Here, the flight attendant would tell the entire flight that they have 90 seconds to get every single shade down. Tell them that the previous flight only had 3 window shades that were left open, then challenge them to beat the record and reach a full 100%. Even if they don't win a prize, people love to get competitive, even with people that they don't know and don't really care about. Or you could make it a song. Go all out with it. Use jazz hands, pump it full of pizzazz, use humor if you have to, toss in a few puns and maybe an inside joke or two about the destination city. Invite people to participate as well and see if by the end all of the window shades are down. Now, I'm not entirely sure which option would work best. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can leave it on the blog post. It's spencerauthor.com/teachers/systems-architects. But anyway, I'd love to hear what you think, because I'm not entirely sure which one would work the best. But I would test out either of the last two options. And this is because they require no additional money, no new, difficult things to pull off. They just require a creative mindset and then this ability to create a positive, memorable experience. In fact, I would guess that not only do you get the window shades shut, but you also, in the process, maybe even have some great PR and some free advertising. Like the song and dance routine might become a viral video. It has the potential to be annoying, but it could be. The gamified version might be able to distract people who are sitting in the tarmac waiting for the doors to open, being super impatient, and it distracts them from it. The point is, those experiences would have something positive and lasting that people would always remember and associate with your brand. Now, it might be interesting to split test it and see how each of the options work with separate flight crews and separate flights and just see what works best. And this is the whole idea of systems architecture. At this point, you might be wondering why I care about window shades on the airplanes. The truth is, I don't. I mean, not at all. This is the least of my concerns. But I am fascinated by the idea of systems architecture. This is what happens when you create structures and processes and systems that solve problems. Now, systems architecture is at its best when people invent creative solutions that don't require additional time or resources and that don't make people do things that they don't want to do. In other words, the best systems are free, fun, and have full buy-in from the users. These are the ones where people want to embrace the solution or the desired behavior rather than feeling coerced to follow it. There's a great example of this YouTube video, and I love it, and it's these piano stairs. It's on thefuntheory.com. I think it's really cool. In order to get people to take the stairs instead of the escalator, they turned these stairs into a piano, so each key makes a specific noise. Now people go from choosing the escalator, which is easier, to the one that's more difficult and requires more exercise, but is inherently fun, which is the stairs with the piano. Now, there's probably a reason this hasn't made its way into the US and why it's not that popular. It's probably a little bit expensive. And honestly, people playing on stairs can be dangerous, right? People don't want to get sued. But still, I love this example because it shows what happens when you think about a problem and you turn it into a solution. And I think teachers can be systems architects just like this. A few years ago, I got on Twitter and I whined about bus duty. Now, keep in mind, this was Phoenix, and it was blazingly hot before and after school. I'm talking like 118 degrees after school at 3 in the afternoon, and I was doing bus duty, and I was wearing a shirt and tie, and I drank, I swear, an entire liter of water, and I was still thirsty. So I whined about it. I know it's embarrassing and it's not great, but I was not happy. But then this guy, William Chamberlain, who is one of my favorite people on Twitter, he responded to my tweets with four simple words. I love bus duty. I shook my head. Was he serious? Was he being sarcastic? Was he trying to be like, I gotta love bus duty? But then he elaborated it in a second tweet. And this is when William wrote, "You are the first face they see in the morning and the last face they see in the afternoon. Teachers are always saying they value relationships. Well, bus duty is one of the best ways to build relationships when kids least expect it." Bam. Truth bomb. William was right. Over the years, some of the best teachers I worked with were the ones who saw these issues, these problems, these creative constraints as a chance to innovate. My friends Chad and Javi, one was a teacher and technology coach, that was Javi, that Chad was the tech director, they did something really cool. They transformed the dreaded summer school into an amazing STEM camp for kids and a lab school for teachers. When teachers were complaining about raucous dance-offs in the hallway, our principal Raul created designated dance areas where kids could vote and have before school dance competitions each Friday in the gymnasium. Raul looked for an opportunity to build a positive school culture when so many people had just seen a nuisance. And so whether it was the dreaded summer school or the annoying dancing, I love this idea of incorporating the problem into the solution. Sometimes fewer choices are exactly what lead to more innovation. There's a video, I've mentioned it before, called Think Inside the Box, and it's this idea of creative constraint. You can check it out on the blog, but I'm not going to get into it right here. But some of my favorite past projects began with this creative constraint. When I had to teach the rigid four-hour ELL block, I turned the oral language development piece into a chance to do cardboard challenges and maker projects. I used the hour-long grammar block to do choice-driven blogging and podcasts. In other words, I had to be a systems architect, working within the landscape to innovate rather than simply dreaming up something brand spanking new. I learned how to view problems as potential design features. And I think that's an important piece. So I want to go into some of the questions you can ask in order to embrace this process. The following are some questions I've learned to ask when faced with a challenge. Number one, what are some of the things I'm still allowed to do? For example, I might have bus duty, but I'm still allowed to laugh and smile and be social with kids. I can create a system where I will work on smiling and giving fist bumps and deliberately memorizing students' names. And that's my design feature. Number two, are there any things that I am convinced I have to do that are really just unspoken expectations? So am I limited by my own thinking here? There's actually no official school policy stating that I have to give students homework. That's my example. Maybe I could just make it fun, engaging, and yes, optional. This system might actually allow parents to have more of a voice in the process while getting students excited about doing homework. Number three, what is a new angle I can approach with this? I might not enjoy grading papers, but what if I viewed it as a chance to affirm students and help them grow? What if I saw it as a way to pursue a conversation? And if that's the truth, what if I redesigned my grading to focus more on feedback and less on inputting grades? Number four, what are similar systems out there that work? And how can those systems be applied to this specific problem? For example, gamification works well in other domains. We see this on all kinds of things where people love doing things once they become a game. Could it work with window shades on an airplane? Maybe. Could it work with cleanup in a classroom? Probably. Number five, what is the hidden opportunity within this challenge? I'll give an example again from the classroom. Grammar might actually be a really cool way to do Genius Hour projects through choice-driven blogging. There's a hidden opportunity in grammar. Number six, how do I get people to want to do this without spending tons of time or energy or resources? I want to have students have better feedback, but grading takes a long time. So that's my problem, right? But perhaps I could do student-teacher conferences during student project time. And then it becomes way easier. I'm not spending more time or more resources on grading. I'm going to give a comparison right here. Think about ballparks, baseball stadiums. The biggest barrier to Camden Yards was a giant ugly factory building with a strange lot size. But that giant ugly factory building became the focal point of a vintage-style ballpark, and those strange dimensions of the Camden Yards lot became the quirky field dimensions that made Camden Yards so iconic. Similarly, the short dimensions in Fenway Park are exactly why we end up with the green monster that is so memorable. These challenges proved to be opportunities because architects were able to think differently about the space. And so it has me wondering, what are some of the challenges you're faced within your school? And how have you turned these challenges into design opportunities? Hey, thanks for listening to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm trying to get back into doing these a little bit more. If you enjoy this podcast at all, would you check out the iTunes store and leave a review? Let me know what you think of it, and then share it with others. Have a wonderful day and go make something awesome.